called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, through whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, as we continue through your word, we ask that you'd open our hearts and our ears, our spiritual understanding, that we might hear and respond to your word, Lord, your voice. We look to you. We commit this time to you. We ask that you would bless. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Paul, the writer of the book of Romans, he simply introduces himself as Paul. You know, unlike much of the mail we get today, where you got to kind of skim through it and you can't even determine who it's from or what they're selling. Paul, right up front, opens his letter, not in hiding or cloaking who it's from, but Paul. Paul wrote, from Romans through Titus, 13, we know, of the New Testament books or epistles. And probably the 14, he probably wrote the book of Hebrews. But here we see that he is the author, Paul. He opens up. I remember when we went through Romans one time, that's as far as we got through Romans, Paul. And then we just started talking about Paul. And we're going to do a little background because, he's deserving. And it's interesting whom God called to open up the grace of the gospel to us. Let me look a little bit at his background. He was deep in Greek culture, Hebrew, and the Roman world. He was very diversified. And we see that. We know that he was Saul from Tarsus. And Tarsus was a university city, a learning center, with Athens and Alexandria, like Ann Arbor, known for its learning center, where he was from. Steep, deep in Grecian culture. Hebrews, the Bible tells us he referred to himself as a Hebrew of the Hebrews. His dad was a Pharisee. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Strong Hebrew background. Roman. You remember when the centurion arrested him? He said, "How did you gain your citizenship?" He says, "I was freeborn." He was born into Tarsus, was the capital of the province Cilicia. He was born a Roman citizen. Strong background. And, Greek, Hebrew, and the Roman culture, which ruled the world at that time, God called him to open up the gospel, with his diversified background, able to communicate to everyone. Mixed background. The Bible tells us that, he was called of God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. It's interesting how, with his education and background, really he was educated and trained. He could have been a king. And the Bible tells us, that he laid it all down. He laid down all his, education, his accolades, his credits. He said, "I count it as dung or rubbish that I might know him, to know Christ." He laid everything down, and he identifies himself with Jesus Christ. He opens his letter, a servant of Jesus Christ. That word servant in the Greek is doulos. It means a bond slave. You know, not simply a servant, but one of his own free will giving himself to his master. He identifies himself with Jesus Christ and being a slave of Jesus Christ. If you think of, during that culture, the slave, being brought up to the trading block, and really looked at, examined, and really sold, bought and sold as property. Paul, associating and identifying himself as Christ, property, or bond slave, servant of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that he was called to be an apostle. Look in the book of Acts. Look in chapter 9. We'll flip over or back up here a little bit. Called to be an apostle by Jesus himself. Remember when Ananias was questioning the Lord's judgment about Paul. In verse 15, the Lord, Jesus, said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Called an apostle, called by Jesus Christ, identifying himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in this little first part of the book of Romans, really like the introduction, it's from Paul, that he was separated to the gospel of God. How he identifies himself, a servant, a slave. He completely associates himself and identifies himself with Jesus Christ. I'm a servant of Jesus, called an apostle, separated to the gospel. Really what the book of Romans is about is Paul opening up by revelation and the mystery of God's Spirit the truth of the gospel. And he said he was called, separated to the gospel, but he opens up the gospel to us, instructing us about the gospel. It's refreshing in truth. The gospel means good news. And, in a world that we live in, was, filled with such bad news. You think about the, we're getting hardened. You watch the news, two young kids for thrill, they refer to it now as the thrill kill, killing some man, cutting his head off. Macomb County, this man sent to prison for, he was arguing with his wife because his wife was keeping long hours and really away from home too long, killing her and then taking her and chopping up her body and then just sick, demonic, crazy world we live in, and truth. So negative. We live in the fear of terrorism. Yesterday we lost 25 to nothing. Negative, bad, crazy world. Good news. The economy. The economy is, the Bible, in Nehemiah, I didn't make the point. Nehemiah was attacked, by his enemies. I remember when they threatened to attack him. The Bible says they prayed and set a watch. He answered every attack. The Bible says they ridiculed him. He prayed and he worked. But over, the famine and the problem, the economy, I forgot to tell the answer. The answer he gave, the Bible says he thought about it. He consulted himself. He prayed. Then he told the people, that don't you fear God? This is a moral issue. It's not an economic one. It's an issue with God. And how, the world we live in, the Bible likens the world system to Babylon. Babylon is destroyed. It's heading for destruction, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation. And when it's destroyed, the Bible says the angels are singing, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." Babylon is destroyed. Well, it's wobbling right now as we are going through some economic difficulties. The dollar bill is going deflating, and inflation, superinflation, just filled with negative, you know, news. It's good to hear that there's good news. God sends good news. You know, Pastor Chuck wrote a book years ago, What the World is Coming To. He kind of outlines all the negative in the world. But it isn't about what the world is coming to. It's about what's come to the world. That's what the book of Romans is about, that Jesus Christ has come. And good news, as Paul, the Bible tells us, was called an apostle, separated to the gospel, to open up the gospel. And in verse 2, referring to the gospel, Paul, you know, he says that it was pre-planned, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. God wasn't caught by surprise, you know, over the fall, over the death of Christ. It was pre-planned from the beginning, from the foundations of the world. God's seen everything unfold. The Bible says that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to die. He gave us his Son to redeem those who are under the law for our salvation. It was at a point in time, God seen, time was fulfilled, God sent forth his Son. The gospel, the good news. Pre-planned, he said. Promised before through the prophets and the Holy Scriptures. I used to wonder, where in the Old Testament is the gospel recorded? Oh, then I started to study the Bible. It's all over the Old Testament. Even Jesus said, you know, behold, the volume of the book, it's written of me. And we look in the Old Testament, we can see, you know, in type. Well, from the very beginning, at the fall of man, when God, you know, cursed the serpent, he said that the seed of the woman is going to crush your head, prophesying Jesus Christ right from the beginning at the fall. Through the typology, when Abraham took Isaac up to Mount Moriah, you know, the type of the death of Jesus Christ, 3 days, the type of the spirit there, Eleazar, not mentioned again until he brings the bride, the Bible says, the church, typology. But in Isaiah 53, you know, where's the gospel recorded in the Old Testament? You know, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We're sinners. We want to do our own thing. The Bible tells us that's bad, independent of God. But then the next verse says, but the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Our sin laid upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, recorded in the Old Testament. Paul here says, promised beforehand through the prophets, the Old Testament scripture, the gospel pre-planned. As Paul introduces himself, you know, he continues to share about what the book's about. He's about ready to open up an awesome book here, maybe one of the most important books about our faith, the book of Romans. And as he introduces his letter or book to the Romans, he just gives us a little synopsis of what it's all about. It's about the gospel. And concerning the gospel, in verse 3, it's about Jesus Christ. The gospel is all about Jesus Christ. The gospel consists of Jesus Christ. Paul, in the book of Corinthians, says, for what has been delivered to me, what I have received, I also have given to you. That Jesus Christ was crucified, according to the Scriptures. He was he died and was buried 3 days, according to the Scriptures. The gospel, you know, about Jesus Christ, concerning Jesus Christ, as Paul opens up here. The Bible says that he was born, in verse 3, of the seed of David. You know, you look at the Old Testament, when you go through the Old Testament, how God keyed in and was so faithful to the promise that he made to David. David, remember when David wanted to build the temple, and he said to the prophet Nathan, you know, here I sit in a cedar house, and he doesn't have a house to dwell in. Nathan said, oh, do what's in your heart, David. Build him a house. But then the Lord corrected Nathan. He says, he can't build a house. David has shed too much blood. Then the Lord spoke to David. David, no, you can't build me a house. Your son will build me a house. But from your seed will one be that sits on the throne forever. From your seed, Jesus Christ will come. introducing the gospel. It's all about Jesus, born of the seed of David, the fulfillment of the Messiah and the prophecies concerning the Messiah prophecies given to David, the promised line of the Messiah. Really, Paul here talks about his humanity, born, you know, of the seed of David, made flesh. He became one of us that we might become like him. He was becoming flesh, we might receive the Spirit. You know, the Bible tells us further on in the book of Romans, what we could not do, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, because he became flesh. The gospel. On account of sin, he condemns sin in the flesh, the Bible tells us. Telling him, opening up in the introduction to the Romans, you know, that Jesus Christ is what the gospel is all about. And that he was born flesh. He was made flesh. That's good news. It's good news because of what it means. That he died in our place. He's the sacrifice that God accepted. But he goes on. In verse 3, is born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power. He talks about his deity, Jesus, who the gospel is all about. The gospel consists of Jesus Christ. Declared to be the Son of God, or God the Son. A declaration. Interesting that word in the Greek for declared is horizo. And we get our English word horizon. Declared to be God in man. You know, you think about the sunset in the horizon. We're going to have a nice sunset tonight, this evening. And that's the same principle, that God for mankind brought forth a declaration on the horizon regarding his Son, God becoming man. It's all the gospel, introducing the deity, the Son of God. All man, all God. The gospel. That's good news. Incarnation. With power, Paul goes on, with power according to the Spirit of holiness. The Holy Spirit. I notice here the Trinity's mentioned. This is so deep and rich, this little introduction. You know, back in verse 2, God the Father, he promised through his prophets and the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, his Son. We got the Father, the Son. Verse 4, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, all mentioned here. According to the Spirit of holiness, Paul talks about the gospel. That Jesus, born, made flesh, declared to be the Son of God, God the Son, declared to be God, becoming a man. That's good news. Divine, with power by the resurrection, Paul states. Kind of like the validation of our faith. We think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it separates everything. You know, our faith cannot be matched. It's the declaration, the horizon. You know, the truth is that Jesus Christ triumphed over death by the resurrection of the dead, declared to be God the Son through and by the resurrection. Paul, in his introduction here, touching on the resurrection, the good news of the gospel, he really opens up with a little snippet or synopsis of what the book of Romans is all about, the purpose of the book of Romans, or the purpose of the gospel. In verse 5, he said, through whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. The gospel. You know, I love the book of Romans, man. I hope I die in chapter 8 of the book of Romans. I hope we all do. It's such a glorious book. And it brings such freedom spiritually. And here, Paul's talking about the gospel and the grace that God has given us. Oh, we are in store for this letter he's introducing to the Romans. Then he says, but the grace is given to obey him. You know, we think of grace and sometimes don't take it to, you know, its proper level. like we know and receive the grace, you know, for our salvation. Or, hey, it's a gift. Our salvation is a gift. Lest not of works, lest any man should boast. And we know his grace and received his grace as our Savior. And praise the Lord. Paul's talking something deeper, even though it's all about grace and what God gives us and we don't deserve. It's so that we would obey the gospel. It's that we would know him not only as Savior, but as Lord, as the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. He's saying the grace given for the obedience of the faith. He mentioned himself, their apostleship, but all those among the nations for grace given to obey him, to follow him, to love him. The purpose of the gospel, the purpose, touching on the purpose of the book of Romans, through whom we have received grace for the obedience of faith, grace to obey. He says, for his name, his namesake. Turn to 3 John, the little epistle, verse 7. Speaking of for his name, John writes, speaking of Gaius and the generosity of Gaius, he says, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. For his name. Paul was, you know, the gospel is for him. It's for his exaltation, not ours, not mine, not yours, his. And it's about Jesus Christ. It concerns him, his humanity, his deity, his death and resurrection, the freedom that it brings, the grace that he brings that we might obey him, follow him. Paul, you know, writing to the Romans here, he writes, you know, really from Paul, the messenger, and he speaks about the grace. He's going to really get into it as we go on, the message. Paul, the messenger, grace, the gospel, the message, and then the recipients, us, me and you, or the Romans. Well, he says in verse 6, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5, among all nations, it's for everyone. This letter, this truth, his gospel, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. It's for us and all of us, the truth that Romans is, you know, all about. And what Paul expounds in the gospel, and he opens up the glorious gospel, it's for us. It's for our obedience to the faith. He mentions, you know, called of Jesus Christ, talking to the Romans, you know, or to the recipients, to us. Called of Jesus Christ. Beloved of God. It fits everyone. We're all loved of God. I was looking in the Gospel of John when Jesus was praying, you know, the Lord's Prayer. He says, you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. He loves us. We're all loved of God. We're all called of Jesus Christ. Called to be saints, the Bible says. Called three times mentioned here. Roseanne used to have a job years ago, and she would, I think it was for Purple Heart or something, years, I'm 25 years ago or 30 years ago, and she would call and she would phone solicit. Hello? Yeah, you know, Purple Heart, we'll be in your area. And she would go through the phone book, and she had this little, like, system next to the names in the phone book, and she'd put CB for callback or not at home. If you put a little abbreviation, or answered the call. Those that, hello, I'd like to donate something. Those who answer the call were the called. It's really the only difference, I think. I believe we're all called. You know, it's like the phone's ringing. It's God. You know, the caller ID, Jesus Christ. Should I answer it? Should I answer it? Should I answer the call? I wonder what he wants. I wonder what he expects from me. Paul's writing in the Romans, he said, hey, you're called. You're beloved of God. God loves you. And you're called to be saints. Jesus said to those who pick up the phone and answer his call, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they go where I tell them," those who answer. He says you're called to be saints. I was looking at the Greek word for saints. It's hagios. And really what it means is holiness, set apart, sanctified, called to be set apart. Back when Paul was introducing himself, how he identified himself, an apostle. Separated to the gospel. Well, the Hebrew word, the equivalent, is kadosh. It also means holiness, or separated from a common use to a sacred use. It's the word used for the temple and the temple utensils and the priest's garments and the priests themselves. Kadosh. You're to be holy, set apart for the use of God's service. We're all called saints, called to be saints. Interesting. You know, if you look in the first section here, Paul, to be is mentioned three times. It's in italics. In the verse 1, Paul says he's called to be an apostle, declared to be the Son of God, verse 4. And then here in verse 7, called to be saints. It's all in italics. You know, whenever you see italics in the King James, New King James Version, it's inserted there to bring forth extra meaning, but it's not part of the manuscripts. It doesn't belong there. So we could read it in more accuracy. Paul, an apostle. He wasn't trying to be an apostle. He was an apostle. Or declared the Son of God. He wasn't trying to be the Son of God. The resurrection didn't make him the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He preexisted as God the Son. And we, you know, called not to bees. We're not to bees. We're you bees. You be a saint. Yeah. You be a saint. St. John. St. Jason. St. Gary. We're saints. How the Bible identifies us. You know, Paul identifies himself with Christ altogether. His bondslave, his servant, an apostle, separated to the gospel. But to the Romans, to those spread among the nations, to those God loves, to those who answer the call, you're saints. You're eubes. Look in 2 Thessalonians. We'll look at a couple of scriptures. About saints. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10. When he comes, the return of Christ, in that day to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired among all those who believe. Really, Paul's associating saints with believers. You believe, you're a saint. And Ephesians, turn back to Ephesians, about saints. He opens the letter to the Ephesians in verse 1, as he, in his introduction or the salutation from Paul, he says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus." Those that are set apart, those who believe, the body of Christ, the saints. He later in verse one at the end there says, and faithful. You know, he associates the saints with faith, being faithful, believing, trusting him. And then over in, look in verse 18, chapter 1 in Ephesians. The eyes of your as he prays for them, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Paul praying that we would know what's in us, what we have. Ephesians. The riches deposited in us. You know, the Bible tells us in Colossians, the mother load. What's really he's speaking about is Jesus Christ within us. And you're a saint. You believe, you've accepted, you're identified as a saint. Paul, writing the book of Romans, all about God's grace, and really speaking and opening up the book of Romans that we might obey the faith. The purpose of the book of Romans, grace to obey, he says. He's written to us, saints, loved of God, and it's good news for bad times. May we receive it. Lord, help us. Let's stand, and we'll pray. He said, grace and peace to you from God our Father, as he wants to download what he's about to open up. Lord, help us, you know, have the, what do they call it? The hard space, you know, in your computer. What's that space, the available space?
Hard drive.
Lord, help us have the hard, spiritual hard drive to receive what he's got for us. Yes, Lord. Lord, we look to you, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word and the truth and your grace. And Lord, do pour out your spirit upon us. Lord, that we would understand what's in us and who we are, saints, and the truth of your word, the spiritual understanding, that we might obey our Lord, and we might know you, answer the call, follow you. Lord, that we see the riches that have been deposited in us, the truth. Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask that you will plant it in our hearts that we might not sin against you. And transform us, Lord, from the inside out. We belong to you. Help us, Lord, understand the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.